Like to produce your own one-hour radio program? Information on applying can be found at kfai.org/waveproject. The views expressed on this program are those of the persons expressing them and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of Fresh Air's Incorporated Board of Directors, volunteers, or staff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Sunday's Shays Songwriter Cafe, as I like to call it here on KFAI on this, kind of a gloomy Sunday morning here in Minneapolis. And I am here with our special guest on this Songwriter Showcase. I'm here, of course, with Pam, my one and only Pam. But our special guest is Lori Lofgren.
Lofstrom,
and Xander, and welcome to our show. I'm so happy to have you here this Sunday morning.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Great.
Now, you two know each other, correct?
Yes, we do.
From the
Minnesota Showcase.
Yeah, absolutely.
Songwriter Showcase that Nick Hensley.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
we
yeah.
were talking a little bit about how the songwriters in this town are just unbelievable. I mean, there's just so many songwriters, and there's a lot of showcases actually going around. And I know, Xander, you actually put on some showcases. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about some of the showcases you put on in town.
Absolutely, yeah. So my company is Coffee Break Entertainment. I'm the owner and operator of it. And I started doing a biweekly showcase, songwriter round, I should say. Mm. The first Wednesdays of the month, I'm over at the Greenway Recording Studios in Northeast Minneapolis. And then the third Wednesday of the month, I'm over at Evergreen Studios in downtown, right next to the Fine Line. And the doors open at 6:30. Music goes from 7 to 8:30. It always features four artists. They do three songs. It's a $20 cover, and that includes your snacks and NA beverages. And
yeah,
also, it's sponsored by Utapils Brewery. So we
mm-hmm.
got some beer there from Utapils. And it's really great. It's a great way to meet the artists and hear the stories behind the songs. It's kind of treated like a private event. You have to RSVP your seat because it's limited to 20 seats. The performance is 100% acoustic, but we do have microphones set up because the artists get to walk away with audio recording from the night.
Right.
And it's sweet. So
yeah, very intimate. Yeah, I've been there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So coffeebreakentertainment.com, swing over there, and you'll be able to find your way to RSVP to the event. First Wednesdays and third Wednesdays of the month.
Definitely, definitely. And I know, Lori, you play at a lot of songwriter showcases.
I do. I am a regular at Nick's, the Minnesota Songwriter Showcase. I'm doing one down in Northfield hosted by Mark Ross. I do that a few times a year. And I've done some other ones, too, out at Badger Hill. Brewing. Janet hosts that. So I like doing the showcases more than anything else. They pay next to nothing, or if not nothing, but they're just a really great way to meet people and get your music out there and kind of introduce it to people who you might not normally run into.
Right, and you know, that's what I like about the show, and me and Pam were talking too, is that you know, for the show on the radio too, is to get artists out there that can't maybe get to a showcase, you know, at least you can hear it on the radio, you know. So I'm really glad you two could join us here. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, your songwriting process. And for you two, I don't know, I'm sure you have to write from the different perspective of a guy and a girl, you know. I mean, but do you mostly write from your personal experiences, or do you kind of make things things up in your head.
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
I make up everything in my head.
Do
almost.
You really?
I don't. I like to weave a story and then sprinkle enough truth in there to make it feel like it's real. And so I have a song that I'm in the middle of recording right now that I didn't know where it was going to go, and I ended up writing a song about being a parent and watching your child grow up. I am not a parent.
Uh-huh.
I do not have any children. And so, but I, you know, I based it off of like my nieces and nephews, and I have a lot of honorary of those. And my neighbor kids, like, because they have a 3-year-old and a 17-year-old. So I kind of wrote it from that perspective. So that is kind of my most interesting way to do those things, you know? So I just kind of make it up. Now, I do have a few songs that are true. And
right.
So one off my first album is based on my life, but I don't tend to do that. So there's something vulnerable about that that I'm like, but, and then there's also my life is kind of boring. So
I don't think, you know.
But so songs will have things that I've experienced, but not necessarily my true experience in life, you know, so.
Does it ever get hard, though, to, like, come up with stuff like that, though, if you're like basing it off of trying to pull it out from somebody else?
Do you know, I'm an observer of life. Like, I watch people, I watch how people react in situations, and I take bits and pieces, and I like to watch a lot of TV and movies, so you can get a lot out of there, too, you know? So,
sure.
And I write with prompts, so sometimes that makes me think of a story. The album that's coming out this week is an EP of 5 songs. They're all heartbreak songs. And yes, I've been going through something where I've, you know, this on again, off again, but there's never anything full truth about any of those songs. You know, it's just there are pieces about how I feel and what I think I would feel like or what other people tell me that they feel like. So that's how I kind of do it. I don't love to just open up and write so specifically about my life that it's like, oh, gosh, what did you go through now? You know what I mean? So I would rather have people think that and be wrong than people think that and feel sorry for me because I'm just like pouring out my heart on the of every heartbreak or every gay situation, you know, and stuff. So, but I have a couple songs. I just recently wrote a Walmart song that is based on a true story. So I'm thinking I'm going to record that. It's out on YouTube, so you can find it there. It was part of my song prompts. But so I just kind of have fun with it. And I also wrote about my growing up situation. My mom left when I was very, very young. And so I have a song off my first album that covers that. But I don't do a whole lot of, like, this is specifically my life. I don't know about you, Zander. Is Northeast a true story?
Yeah, because you're going to be singing that. Yeah. You're going to be singing that a little bit later, you know, so.
Yeah, I try to write from personal places, and then I go back and try to edit it, because I want all my songs to be as universal as possible, but also from a personal experience.
Uh-huh.
So I tend to write songs that are more personal, and then I try to edit it to figure out how can I make this. Maybe not everybody's been in the specific situation that I'm in this songs, but maybe they have. So I try to like make it a little bit more universal as best as I can. And it doesn't always turn out that way. But yeah, I don't know. It's funny. Like sometimes I start with the lyrics, and I try to find chord progressions that match the feeling of the lyrics. Or sometimes I'll write a chord progression and I struggle to find lyrics that match the feeling that the chords give me. That's what I try to give justice to one or the other. Very rarely, but sometimes I'll write a song in one sitting and it all just pours out of me. Yeah, like Can't Go to Northeast. That was one. I'll tell you that story later as it gets time to it. But I don't know. I'm just trying to. I've been writing since I was. Well, I picked up guitar at 13. I started writing probably at 15 or 16 when I started dating and started feeling things, you know, and all that. I feel like I only in the last like couple of years really started honing in and focusing on my songwriting. Because I'm a goofy guy and I like to write goofy songs, but I'm like, I should probably try to write more serious tunes. So I've been trying to focus on that lately. Is more like, you know, universal feelings. What does everybody kind of feel and understand? And how can I capture that in 2.5 minutes in a song, you know?
Do you remember the first song you wrote? And I always ask the songwriters, just like, do you remember the first song you wrote and like could you sing part of it? Or or would you want to sing part of it, I guess, is more the question.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I had one that I still do to this day. It was one of the early songs I wrote for my mom. It's called Weeping Willow Tree. And I still do that one every once in a while, especially when she's in the audience. And then I wrote one called Beautiful Blue Eyes that was just so stupid. And I wrote it for my high school sweetheart at the time. Uh-huh. And, like, the rhyme scheme was terrible. And right. It was, you know, it was silly. I got an uncle with blue eyes, and so he would give me crap. And he's like, oh, you wrote this for me, didn't you? And I'm like, yeah. So I stopped playing it.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But, what about you, Lori?
You know, my early stuff has all been burned and,
really?
You know, thrown away. Yeah, because I wrote a lot when I was in, and I was so literal about when I wrote things. When I was in high school, when I picked up the guitar for the first time. And so I wrote some, but I didn't really get serious about writing until about 2018. And that's when I would say that I really, I was an English major, so like writing has always been in my like, you know, wheelhouse. But actually, I wrote maybe a few songs and I started writing songs again in about 2015. But I would never, ever tell people that they were my songs, you know?
Yep.
And so I couldn't even tell you. I do remember there was one that was about miming. And because I liked a boy who did miming, like as far as drama was concerned. So yeah, but I don't even remember how that goes. But that was a really long time ago. So I don't play any of those whatsoever.
Really?
Whatsoever. Nothing from before 2015.
I mean, you have a lot of songs. How many songs do you think you've written so far?
Well, I think I would gauge it since like 2015, probably getting close to 200.
Wow.
And they're not all good. And I have some that are in
well,
process.
Well, you don't know that, though. They're maybe not good to you. You know.
Yeah, objectively
I might
to
need
you.
To go back and, like, I do try to go back and look at things. Like, that's one thing that I've been trying to do instead of writing every week, like going back to a song and trying to fine-tune it and see if it's got any value in it. But I tend to write more in one sittings. So that's really
nice.
Kind of how I write. So that's why it comes so fast. But I've been doing prompt writing with a group. And so those are down and dirty. You want to get it done and posted in a week. And, you know, and it's so you, I write them and then I post them and then I go sing them at the showcase usually. So,
oh, yeah.
And then I figure out what works or doesn't work about them just by playing with other people and what their reactions are to the songs. But I would never be able to play a song that I wrote in the very beginning. But it's, I mean, there's a lot of years in between then and now. I built a corporate career in between. So,
right.
You know, so it's, there's a lot of years where I never played those things. But yeah, before I moved, I shredded a whole bunch of stuff that I didn't want anyone ever to see.
And Xander, do you write with anybody or?
I have actually with, mostly with Clayton Ryan, friend of mine. I'm working with him quite a bit. He and I have written a couple songs together. My wife and I have written a couple songs together because we also perform together as a group called Beyond the Trees. And so we have a couple songs together. But otherwise, I don't know. It's something that, again, I'm trying to explore a little bit more lately because I've always felt that songs are very personal. Again, like I try to write from the heart and then try to make it more universal for everybody. So no, I should challenge myself to write with more people, but I just haven't. I don't know why.
It's got to be
I'm
different,
kind of a punk
you know?
At heart,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, keep it to myself. This is just how I do it. I don't want anybody else's input, but maybe I'm blocking myself. I don't know.
Yeah.
Lori and I will have to sit down and write
a
prompt
and
get a song.
I know
going.
You should write together. That would be really fun.
It would.
And so I experiment a little bit. I find that it's easiest for me to write with people if I get to know them first. So I wrote a great song with my friend Joel Cachel, and it was over Monday dinners, and we would get together Monday dinners and have dinner together while he was in town, and we wrote this song, and it took a little bit longer than it does when I write by myself.
Sure,
but
yeah.
But it is interesting. I actually have another session of prompts coming up, and I already have made plans to write with someone, so we'll see how that goes. And it's interesting because we do have different styles. I wrote a lot with Raya Peck, a few songs with her, and it was always weird because you know, she's a total Nashville girl. And so it's 3.5 minutes, you know, and she, you know, it's like, and it's, so it's very different. And then me, you know, sometimes I'm like really surprised when I can write a 3-minute song or a 2.5 minute song. And off my recent album, I just, that's coming out, that has a 2.5 minute song. And I'm like, wow, I said everything I needed to say in 2.5 minutes. I don't usually do that. So.
That's
yeah,
great.
I know. And it's got to be cool for you guys to like think of something and then all of a sudden write it and then put the music to it. Because I've always wondered, like, how does that work? Like, when you're writing a song, like, is it in your mind, okay, well, this is going to be the piano part, this is going to be the guitar part, this is going to be the drum part? I mean, how does that, that is the part that fascinates me about songwriting. I mean, how do you put all that in your mind? Is that in your mind when you're writing it, or does that come after you write it?
Oh, man.
I mean, seriously, because I've often wondered, you know.
Yeah, that's a good question. For me, it depends. Sometimes there's just a riff in my head, and I, like, write a song around that, and it becomes funky and fun, which I haven't done in a while. But usually I'll start with the chords and the lyrics and kind of get the bones, the structure of the song like that, and then I come back and I'm like, okay, what's the feeling of this? Should we go more funky? Should we go more groovy? Should it be more bluegrass?
Okay.
And then kind of throw in little licks and stuff. Actually, I was just in the studio. I'm not going to do it today, but I have a song called Western Winds, and it's kind of a time-travel-y ballad song. And it started out just guitar and vocals, and then in the studio, I'm working with Sam Licari out of Sweet Tea's studios up in Anoka or Ramsey area, and the production just happened magically in the studio. We were like, this needs banjo, upright bass.
Okay, right.
And it kind of has, because of the time-travel-y feel, we added, like, chains, so there's no drums. It's just, like, stomp, clap, and, like, an actual chain that we're throwing on the floor as, like, the snare and stuff like that. And I was just in the studio the other day, and I was like, this is lacking something. What do we need? And we decided harmonies. Let's try harmonies once. So I threw a harmony down. My pitch was off. We went into Melodyne and auto-tuned it.
Right.
And we ended up, while auto-tuning my vocals, created a whole 3-part harmony.
Oh, my gosh.
That was
Isn't
not
that
what I originally had.
Yeah, right.
And so I went back in there and re-recorded what we had just created in the auto-tune. And now I love it. It just needs to be mixed and mastered, and that'll be coming out soon. So it really just depends on the day and what
sure.
kind of what's happening. Yeah, but I usually start with the structure first. Rarely do I start with, like, a riff or a guitar part in mind and then kind of go from there.
Definitely. But, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's magical.
Yeah.
And I can't play a riff to save my life. So, no, I actually write the words and lyrics at the same time.
Okay.
Or the words and the lyrics. The words and the melody at the same time. Anyways, you can tell it's early. So the words
yeah, really.
Music.
I'm like, okay.
So sometimes, like, I'll come out with the first line and I don't know where I'm going to go with that song. Like, I'll have some place totally different in mind, and then all of a sudden, oh, here I am at this one. And I just really don't think about everything I want to do to the song, you know, for performance. Because when you record, it's very different than when you perform things live.
Yes.
And so, because, you know, usually when I go out and play, the most I usually ever have would be Charlie on bass. You know, I play a lot acoustically by myself. And so I do that, and so I don't really think about that. But when I get into the studio, I really have defined ideas of, like, what I hear in that song. And so I have a great co-producing partner, and that's Daryl Bullock from Wild Horse Recording, and I've recorded everything out of his studio there in Stillwater. And it's kind of, there are times when I'm like, I don't know. Like, I recorded one of our songs, Let's Have Some Fun, and the next thing I knew, we had 18 tracks of vocals on that song.
Goodness.
You know, and it's because I do all my own harmonies, and I have a...
Do you?
Yeah, I have a real problem with auto-tune. So it's like, when he wants to use it, on my background vocals, like on Let's Have Some Fun, we did use auto-tune a little bit, but it was because I have rubato in my voice.
Oh,
and so yeah. We can, like, even it out, and it makes the harmonies feel just, like, not get clashy with some of the vibrato in there. So there I'm okay, but if he wants to put it on my main vocals, which he rarely ever has suggested, if even ever, I'm like, nope, let's re-record it, because I want it to be authentically me. But that is kind of who I am as an artist, you know? I mean, that is why I go onto Instagram and make videos without any makeup on and without my hair done and a stupid tiara on, because I don't really care.
I love your videos. I know they're great.
So, I mean,
they
it's just, it's, you know, it's just my thing. But I just like, I get to just be authentically me. And so that's why I have a really tough time. And so, and I think part of the art is not being perfect. So that is really important to me, not to be perfect. But I have pretty good pitch. So that kind of, you know, works well in my favor. I actually, one of the songs that I recorded, I wanted for this current project that's coming out, I wanted the beginning and the end to be slower. And then, and I play to a click track, right? So we always have a click for what I'm playing. And that's really hard to do with a click. So I ended up playing each of the notes and recording those and then coming back and singing it a cappella and then putting it together, which is a scary proposition, but it worked out really well. So,
oh man, I can't wait to hear that.
Broken.
And that's up a broken.
And then some of it is out now, but it's going to be streaming coming this week.
Yes, on the 21st, it'll be streaming on all your services. Right now, it's on my website and it's on Bandcamp. So I put it out for Bandcamp right away. And I've been doing that as a pattern, as I've been putting it out on Bandcamp before it ever comes to. So I've had people buy it off of Bandcamp, which is great because that's how some people listen. And that's a great place for local or independent artists. So
Absolutely. Yeah. And they do that Bandcamp Friday where you get 100% of the proceeds.
Yeah.
And they don't take a cut. Like, it's great for artists.
Well, and it ends up being about 93%, which is higher than anybody because I do have to like take the fees and stuff for like credit card and kind of thing. So I totally admire them for that. But even when it's regular, you still are making 80%. So that is way higher than, you know, I think iTunes is 70, you know, for buying the album. Okay. Then we're talking pennies for streaming. So.
Oh, I love that pattern though, putting it on Bandcamp first. Cause that's where like a lot of, that's where you get your true supporters. Like streaming is cool. You get discovered on it, but having music on Bandcamp is so smart nowadays, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I think I only do streaming because that's where I want to listen. Like that's where I make my own personal playlist. But other than that, it's, you know, I would rather buy someone's CD and then go listen to it on streaming. So that's kind of what I've been doing. So
I love it.
I mean, yeah. Can you guys imagine like just how just all this technology with the streaming and everything has come such a long way? I mean, even for you guys with your music just in the last 10 years, I mean, what it's just come to, it's just got to be great for you guys, even though, you know, to get your music out there.
Yeah,
you know,
it's nice to get discovered that way. It's kind of a bummer if as far as like because the payout on streaming is not
for
that
the payout,
great.
Right, exactly for that.
But I think it depends on how you approach it, though, too. If you approach it thinking like streaming is terrible because I'm not making any money off of it, it's easy to get bogged down and bummed. But if you think of it as like, hey, this is a good way to get discovered by people from across the world. And if you're willing to travel and tour and you actually look at those analytics, it can be a very valuable tool.
Sure.
And, you know, my approach has changed quite a bit in the last couple of years, but I'm thinking more, and I only have one song on Spotify right now or in all streaming platforms, but my thought on it is just like, yeah, if you look at it as a tool to get your music out there, it is kind of the generic industry standard is what I'm looking for, or what I'm trying to say. It's the industry standard right now. If you have music on Spotify, everybody's looking at it right away, and they might, you know, they might look at your social media after finding your song on Spotify or something, and that's where you have them in your hands, and that's where you need to kind of build your social media presence and your website presence and all that, thinking like, oh, if somebody comes off of Spotify over to here, that's great. Now, how do I capture them and how do I get them to buy an album off of Bandcamp and get off of Spotify and those sorts of things?
But yeah, even if you'd like, even Lori, like even if you put like a part of your song out that gets them, you know, hooked on it, then they can go and buy it. You know what I mean? I mean, that part of it is good too.
Yeah, it is. Yes, and I put it out on streaming just as an industry standard, right? I don't really have any, I don't have tons and tons of followers on streaming, and I don't have tons of streams by that means. I started this fairly late in life, so it's, you know, it's something for me that's a little bit different and challenging. I was just saying that social is challenging for me. It's, you know, I'm not used to being on camera all the time. Yeah. It's weird. And so I'm getting more comfortable with it. I'm in the middle of a 75-day challenge to do a reel a day. So, I mean, those are things that I try to to do, but I realize I can't also do them the same as somebody who's in their 20s. Like, it doesn't work for me that way. And so I do it just,
I know, right?
Yeah, it's just, I do it for me. Like, I do, this is me, and this is how I'm gonna approach all of this. And I find it, it's all very interesting, but it is a lot of work. I haven't even ventured into the world of TikTok. Like, that scares
the heck. I know. That's the thing. I mean, it's like a full-time job, really.
Yeah.
If you want to do all this stuff. I mean, I know I say the kids, but it really is the kids, you know, right? They know how to do everything, and it's a full-time job for them, and it's just, like, crazy. So, I guess we just got to do what we can to get out there and, you know what I mean? Do the best we can.
So go follow us on, like, Instagram.
Yeah,
on Instagram.
What's your username?
So you can always just look my name up, but my username is just LL Lofstrom because I got Lofstrom, it before because I'm Lori Lynn Lofstrom. So, I didn't want to use Lori Lynn for my recording name because that sounds a little too much like a country star.
Sure.
And that's just really not who I am. But I keep thinking Loretta Lynn whenever I say Lori Lynn. So that, and I'm just Lori Lofstrom Music on Facebook for the old people that we like the Facebook still. And I'm YouTube. But I love Instagram. So I always share to Instagram.
Right.
And then I put full-length videos out on YouTube. And I'm trying to get better, like, all my prompts. Like, let's just put them in a collection in a playlist. Here's all the songs full so you can go listen to them. Cause especially for people who aren't on Facebook. Because on Facebook, I do get the full version. On Instagram, I'm not putting a 3-4 minute video out there, so I'll put a clip. So
Lori, would you like to sing one of your songs, and maybe you could give us a little story behind it?
Okay, so I'm gonna do, we decided on silly songs today.
We're gonna figure out which songs are.
So I'm gonna do a song called Croak, and the story behind it, and hopefully I'll remember it all. The story behind it is I had a prompt and the word was frog. And I'm like, what am I going to do with the word frog? I mean, that's just absolutely ridiculous. And so I decided, my friend just jokingly said, well, you can write a song about someone who croaks. And so I'm like, great. And this is out there, and it's basically recorded acoustically, or it is. And my mom's only reaction was, well, everyone knew the words. And she didn't like it very much. But I'm going to sing that one for you guys today. So, I thought we'd be together forever, you and I, until you found a new love and kept her out of sight. And now I'm not so sure of what to do. Your clothes are tossed across the lawn. A lit match will be there due. And I try to think of something else to say as you walk away. I hope you don't find true love. And I hope you are cheated on. And I hope someone steals your car. And I hope you're always left with wanting more. I hope you get an STD. And I hope you smoke some bad weed. And I hope you gamble all your money away. And I really wish that you would croak. And what did you think that I would do when I found you and her in our bedroom? You best run and get far away from here before I lose my self-control and there's nothing left to lose. It's probably a good thing I don't own a shotgun or two. Hope you don't find true love. And I hope you are cheated on. And I hope someone steals your car. And I hope you're always left with wanting more. smoke is an STD. And I hope you smoke some bad weed. And I hope you gamble all your money away. And I really wish that you would croak. And the lesson you should learn is not to underestimate the woman who is really pissed. I hope you don't find true love, and I hope you are cheated on, and I hope someone steals your car. And I hope you're always left with wanting more. I hope you get an STD. And I hope you smoke some bad weed. And I hope you gamble all your money away. And I really wish that you would croak.
That was great.
Yeah. So, and I made mistakes, and I do that when I'm performing too, because I don't always remember all the words. But when you write so much, you kind of I start to get lost. And then when people are giggling, you can tell that they're finding it amusing. I always can tell who's listening and who's not when I do that song. So.
Yeah, yep. Really, right?
Because my neighbor's like, you rhymed STD with weed. I like that.
And the people are like, oh, I can relate to that song, right?
And I feel really sad when women tell me, how did you know that that was my story?
I know, right? Oh,
my gosh.
And I'm just like going, oh, my gosh, I am so sorry. Because that was totally from my imagination. So
that's what I'm saying. Like, your songs that we're saying are, like, from your imagination. But then, like, how can people relate to them so well, you know? I mean, that's got to be crazy, you know?
It's crazy. It's there's enough truth sprinkled in them, so.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And, like, have you ever written a song about, like, one thing, and then all of a sudden, like, it turns into something else?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. That's actually kind of it's something that I say when I'm pitching my songwriter rounds at the studios biweekly. I always tell people, like, you ever heard a song and it reminds you of your grandma that passed away? And then you talk to the songwriter and they're like, dude, that song was about my dog. You know,
yeah,
it's
right?
Like, that's kind of the whole, that's the cool part, you know, is like songs can have such a different meaning and relationship to different people depending. And it isn't until the songwriter has the opportunity to explain themselves and the story behind it that you really get to hear the true meaning behind it. But also, that doesn't matter. Whatever the song means to you, man, is like what it means to you. So
100%.
Find that and stick with it.
Yeah. I was telling Lori, I love your song Stay.
Uh-huh.
I listen to that a lot. And what's the story behind that? I mean, because like you said, a lot of your stuff is from imagination. But so, I mean, I can kind of relate to that song.
So, yeah, I think that one, part of it does come from my personal experience because I did learn very young that people don't stay.
Right.
So my birth mom left before I was a year old, and I always lived with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so trusting people is really difficult with me. I'd probably had five different mothers between aunts and stuff before I turned two. And when my dad remarried. So, and she's my mom. So that's who I call mom. So there is a little bit of that. I kind of wait for that second shoe to always drop. That is part of like who I am and how I'm wired. But finding someone, I haven't found the person who actually stays yet. So, you know,
right.
So I mean, there's part of that that I'm, you know, it's like I always feel like there's something to lose, you know. And so you might have a person who stays a while, but.
Right.
You know, I think the people who stay the most are your family or your who you make your family.
Sure.
So I have a lot of people who are like one of my best friends since I was 13. Like her kids call me auntie, and you know, and they've called me that their whole entire life, and now the two of them are having kids. You know, and so we have little baby twins and a little 1 year old now, and I'm great auntie. You know, and so it's great. I mean, it's so much fun. I'm hoping that my nieces and nephews wait a little bit longer before they have any kids because they're 20 and younger. So I want them to go live some life first.
Right.
But so it's, you know, that's where it comes from. It comes from, yes, part of it I've experienced. Part of it is that's how I hope. You know, I hope that there's someone, you know, that comes along, and even the people who have come along in the past that just are there for whatever you need them to be there for, and they promise to, you know, to stick around. That's what you want in your life.
Sure.
You want the people, whether it's your partner or it's your friends, you want people who just accept you for the way and understand that there's parts of you that are maybe a little jaded and you're still learning how to trust, or you're still learning how to be comfortable with someone sticking around. So that's where that one comes from.
Yeah, and I'm sure you guys, well, I mean, I'm probably a lot older than you guys, but like, I'm sure when you, as you get older too, I'm sure your songwriting is going to change for a different perspective, like you were just talking, of different things. And I think that's kind of cool too, that you can, you know, come up with different scenarios and different things on your perspective of life. I'm sure, you know,
absolutely
changes for different songs and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Love songs have changed for me from, you know, just like trying to swoon a lady I'm interested to, now I've been with my lady for 11 years, married for 5 next month, and it's like, okay, so the perspective on love songs
Yeah, right,
totally
exactly.
changed, you know, and that sort of thing. It's kind of funny.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to take a little bit of break, and then we are going to be right back, and then we're going to hear a little bit from Xander.
Sweet, sweet.
On KFAI.
Don't waste it. Recycle it.
Every pop can, every cardboard box, every hot-sized bottle counts.
That random junk mail, tomorrow's cereal box.
That glass bottle, next month's pickle jar.
That pop can, back on the shelf in just 60 days.
Don't waste it. Recycle it.
Because in Minneapolis, what goes around comes right back around.
What else should you recycle?
Search Minneapolis Recycling to learn more.
And we are back once again. I am Cher Dial, and we are back on our Sunday's showcase, Songwriter Showcase. We are here with Lori Lofgren.
Lofstrom. There's no T. Lofstrom. So Lofstrom.
And Xander got that right.
Yes, yeah.
Easier than his real last name.
Oh, yeah. What is your real last name?
So my real name is Alexander Glovitz.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I do a lot of touring, and I meet a lot of weirdos on the road that like to creep on me, so I had to go really lean into the stage name recently.
Xander?
So Xander.
Right.
And it actually was a name from Michelle Metz. I used to work at the Caboose from 2015 to 2017, and as soon as I turned in my paperwork, it was as soon as I turned in my paperwork, the manager, Michelle, was just like, "Hey, welcome to the team, Xander." And I'm like, "Oh, I like that." And it just kind of stuck. So, yeah.
Right.
That's
Isn't
been
that
the,
funny?
The nickname for a decade now, which is kind of crazy.
I know. People always think my name, Cher Dial, is a made up name, but it's not.
Oh, really?
No, it's not.
Oh,
it's
I
my
was
name.
One of those people.
No, yeah, I really.
Thought it was a stage name.
Yeah,
that's
no,
great.
No, that's my real name.
Yeah.
Oh, but I know. And I don't mean to mispronounce your name. It's just like.
No, it's a hard one,
dude.
People. And I always know when I have telemarketers.
Lofstrom,
I used to
right?
actually answer the phone. You know, it's like, Lofstrom. And I'm like,
oh, right, I know.
R-O-M, you know, it's Strum. But yeah,
Lofstrom.
So it's very Scandinavian, so very Swedish, actually. So
okay.
So
okay.
All of my great grandparents came from Sweden. So
nice.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Okay. And now, Xander, you were talking about touring. Now, do you, I know you toured a lot. I know you're out with Clayton Ryan.
Absolutely.
And then you're out by yourself now. I know you got a bunch of shows this weekend you're doing.
Yeah, lots of stuff.
Yeah.
I quit my job 2 years ago, February of 2024, and immediately hit the road with my band. I play in multiple bands. I belong to Russ Parrish and the Lone Oaks and the Clayton Ryan Band.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do substitute guitar work for a lot of people, too. So I'm keeping pretty busy with it. But right like a week after I quit my job, I hopped on the tour bus with the Devin Worley Band, and we did a 4-day run down to Nashville and back.
Nice.
And I was like, yep, I need to hit the road more. And
since
February of 24, I have logged 80,000 miles on my minivan.
Really?
All around the country.
Oh my
just
gosh.
Cruising. So when I say I'm home, I mean I'm playing the Midwest.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, I've done Nashville a couple dozen times. I did a tour through Texas in the winter of 25. I just did a tour through Arizona this last winter.
Mm.
And that went really well. We're going to go back to Arizona for sure.
Do you like being on the road? Or do you like?
Oh, I love it. Yeah. My wife and I are freelance. I'm trying to get to the point. I'm not well known enough or getting paid well enough to be able to take her with, but that's kind of the goal.
Yeah.
Is to get to that point, you know, put a mortgage down on a minivan or something, on a Sprinter. But yeah, we do it as cheap as we can. Clayton and I are well known for the amount of sardines that we eat on the road.
Sardines,
you know, we've nicknamed the minivan King Oscar because of the amount of King Oscar brand sardines that we've eaten on the road.
Sure.
Gotta keep it cheap, you know.
Again, social media with your
videos.
Yeah.
They're good at it.
Exactly. Oh,
Clayton's a beast. Yeah, he's been teaching me how to play the social media game quite a bit. He's really good at
it. Yeah.
I did tour recaps when I was in Arizona, and that, like, 1 minute long daily recap took me an hour and a half in my hotel bed trying to figure out how
really?
To do it.
Isn't that funny?
Like, it's so silly.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. But, well, okay, we are going to hear a song from you. And we were saying this is kind of like a silly song, right?
Yes.
That we're going to do.
Absolutely.
And tell us a little bit about the song you are going to sing for us.
All right. So this is the only single I have on Spotify and Apple Music and everything right now. It's called Can't Go to Northeast, (MPLS). I had a falling out with a friend. The last job I had before diving into music full time was a Lynn Lake brewery, which unfortunately just closed recently. But while I was working there, a friend of mine thought it would be a good idea to bring Crown Royal behind the bar and serve that. And we don't have a liquor license, so we couldn't do that.
Oh, no.
And he got caught on camera, unfortunately, and so we had to let him go. The owners were like, this is not good. So had to do the deed, and he was pretty ticked off at me, and it turned into it got to the point where, like, I had to block him because it was getting pretty foul and pretty rude. And I'm like, dude, you know, it's just business. You got to do what you got to do. But it turned really personal. So I took a silly situation and turned it into a silly song. And, you know, most people, when you have a falling out, they say, don't come to my house no more, or don't speak to my son ever again. Well, he said, I'm not allowed in Northeast Minneapolis anymore.
Oh, no.
So I actually wrote, this was one of those songs
that's
I
funny.
Wrote in like 15 minutes. I wrote this in 15 minutes while sitting at the 331 Club over a PBR tall boy. This is called Can't Go to Northeast. It's a very bluegrass song on the recording, but
okay. Tonight
you get just little old me.
Yeah, right.
The story is true. The character is fictional for the song. Tina says I can't go to Northeast, I ain't welcome there no more. Claiming that I stopped her heartbeat when I told her that she's gotta go. Well, Tina doesn't know she's the reason that I even had to say goodbye. The self-destruction via self-pleasing, some things can change in the blink of an eye. Well, Tina says I can't go to Northeast. No, she can't stand to see my face. Claiming she'll knock the wind out of me, but it didn't have to be this way. Well, I couldn't handle all of her drinking, way past the limit, baby, and then some. And I'd always ask her, what was she thinking? She could go until the sun came up. She was slurring her words, she gave me the bird, and rushed right out the front door. Naming my crime and the ticket and fine is, I'm not allowed in Northeast no more. But I still have drinks down at Grumpy's, every now and then in between. And I hate to break it to you, baby, you'll never kick me out of Northeast. Now let me tell y'all about a typical Thursday from back in the day. I used to hang out at the Palace after some lobster at the 1029. And Tina's making me give up all this, I'm gonna miss my favorite dives. But I think I'm safe here at the 331 because Tina doesn't come around. She used to be part of the family till she cursed my name into the ground.
she was throwing her curse. She crashed and burned and kicked me out the front door. Naming my crime and the ticket and fine is I'm not allowed in Northeast no more. Well, maybe one day Tina will wake up and make a point to go and change her tune. Cause if she don't change her ways up, I guess our friendship's gonna get black and blue. Well, I got a burger over at Stanley's, where Tina used to work at night. Forgetting now I can't be in Northeast, but the bark is worse than a bite. She was slurring her words, she gave me the bird and rushed right out the front door. Naming my crime and the ticket and fine is I'm not allowed in Northeast no more. But I still have drinks down at the old Dusty's every now and then in between. And I hate to break it to you, baby, you'll never kick me out of Northeast. I said you'll never kick me out of Northeast. I said you'll never kick me out of Northeast. And there you go.
That was great.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it, for people that are here in Minneapolis, I mean, it named all the great places, Stanley's and all the great places that people will recognize. So that's pretty cool.
It's funny. I've since I've recorded that song, I've changed the lyrics every once in a while. I wanted to be relevant to the kiddos, so I say after some glizzies at the 1029 in the recording, which is what the kids call hot dogs. And in the original.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And I used to hang out when I lived in Uptown. And even before that, I used to hang out at the CC Club
all
the time. Uh-huh. That's my favorite spot. My favorite bar still is. So in the actual recording, I say the CC Club instead of the 331. But since I've been playing it live, I'm like, I wrote this at the 331. CC Club's not in Northeast, but it is my safe haven. So now I say 331 Club live.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That.
Yeah, it's funny how songs can develop over time.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. Now, I was going to ask, because I know, Lori, you play piano also.
Yeah.
And now, do you have to take that with you? Or, I mean, well, they have it at the, I mean, do you take your keyboard with you? Or?
I don't, yeah. I would have to. So I actually ended up, so I have a Yamaha MX-88 that I would like to replace with a Nord. So that's next on my list. But I couldn't carry it with me. And part of it was it wasn't just the weight of it, but how wide it is. So I ended up buying a little Casio Previa that I bring out to shows because it's 24 pounds and it's I can get my arms totally around it. And when you're your own roadie, you know, I just, you know, I'm just I don't want to do this anymore. So, and I don't always bring the piano out. So I think I'm going to have to start doing that because right now I'm writing a lot on the piano and I can't translate it to the guitar. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's why I didn't choose to do a song from the upcoming EP because I can't do it. So, but, you know, so it's just kind of a pain, but I do like bringing it out when I can, so.
You're a great player, too.
Oh,
you really are. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I started taking lessons when I was in second grade, and I was trained classically until I was a senior in high school. So, so that's, you know, where my background, but I slowly learned about chords and making up stuff, and so that's how I played covers was I would sing along. So I've gotten to the point where I play the guitar and the piano to accompany myself, or I write parts a lot on the piano for recording, which then if you can use, I like analog synths. So there's like a Korg and there's a Roland that I like playing in the studio. And I can get things that sound like bells or sound like violins. I've written cello solos and I just play them all on the keys because I can do that. So
cool.
And what about you, Xander? What other instruments do you play? Do you play the banjo?
No, or, I wish. I wish. I have my grandfather's mandolin, and so I've taken a couple lessons on that, but I haven't kept up with it. It's one of those things I pick it up every once in a while for like a week or two, and then I set it down, and I really need to change that. I would love to learn more of the mandolin, and I recently started keeping a harmonica in my car.
Nice.
And I'm trying to learn that
harmonica.
While I'm just driving around.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that'd be great. I love harmonica. I mean, I don't play any instrument, but I love listening to it. You know, it always adds something cool to a song.
It really does. I really love it. I can find my way around a bass. It's just a guitar with two less strings. I'm not a bass player, but I can figure out my way around it.
Sure.
I can fill in for that. Yeah. Otherwise, no piano for me. I tried. I probably could if I really sat down and gave it time, but when I started learning it, it was not the time in my life. I wasn't ready for it, so I just ignored it.
Oh, uh-huh.
But, yeah.
Do either of you, have you ever, written a song and then you've been, like, too nervous to play it in front of anybody?
Yeah.
You know, because you're like, oh, wait a second, you know, I don't know if I want to play this in front of somebody.
Yeah, actually, the song that I'm working on right now, I mentioned earlier, Western Winds, it dawned upon me the other day that I actually busted it out at an open mic 2 years ago. And I was like, oh, here's one from the archives, something new, you know, let's try it. So I busted it out, and it went over really well. Everybody was like, where can I find that song?
Really?
And I was like, oh, snap. But I wrote that song when I was like 17. I was living with my folks still. I wrote it on my mom's couch. And it was one where just lyrically I was like, this is dumb. What am I doing? And so I shelved it. And then I brought it out at the open mic, and people were like, dude, that song tells such a cool story. Like, you need to record it. I'm like, okay. And now it's like one of my most popular songs that people are requesting at shows. Mm. Yeah, so I'm like, okay. But for some reason, just personally for me, I felt like it wasn't good enough.
Do you want to sing a little bit of it?
I could, yeah, if you'd like.
Yeah, a little part of it, sure. Glad to hear it.
Yeah, let's see. It goes like this. When I was just a dear young boy, I had nowhere to go. I dreamt of living out my life on the trains like a hobo. Oh, the places that I'd see and the friends that I would make would make it all worthwhile no matter what I had at stake. Oh, western winds guide me through. I'll travel night and day, living my life on this lonely train. That's a little snippet. You'll have to look for the real thing soon.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of time travel-y. It starts in Minnesota, and I make my way to the West Coast on a train. And it's kind of like a letter to my mom of like, hey, you're believing in me and letting me go and do my thing.
And isn't that crazy, like, when you think that, like, you know, you're 17 and you write that, you know?
Yeah. It's funny, yeah. I don't know why I shelved it for so long. I don't know. I guess I was nervous about the lyrics and didn't really like it, but people are like, that rhyme scheme is great. It tells a story. It's an AAA form, so it kind of feels long, and maybe that's why I put it away, too. But
sure, yeah.
But I like it. Yeah, now I like it. It grew
right,
on me.
Right. I was watching a Dan Rather, especially he was interviewing Greg Allman, and he wrote Melissa when he was 17, and he was going through the whole process, and I'm like, 17, you know, and what a great song at that point, you know, so you just never know when you're younger what's going to come about, you know. Yeah. And Lori, you want to sing another song for us on your way out?
I'll sing a little clip. So I will pick one that I was nervous to sing out at first.
Definitely.
And I was actually really glad that the recording came out after both my dad and my birth mom had passed away. So, because this is like one of my few real life story, so I'll just sing like the little bit beginning of it. She wasn't even 1 year old, and when you left her on her own, and she could count on one hand all the times she saw you in her past. And you can find that one streaming, so go find it. It's called Her Own Strength. And so that is one of, and I was a little nervous even when my cousins came out to hear me for the first time play that one, because they all know my story, and I wrote it in third person, so a lot of people don't realize that it's my story. But that was a little bit, that one's the most, like, jaw-wrenching true story of me. But it's I think once you learn that you can't live your life in the sense of bitterness,
right,
and that you move on and you find love in different places, and unexpected places, that's what that song was, and I wrote it, you know, many, many years later, because I got a letter from her, you know, my birth mom, just saying that I was, she wrote it to my mom, and she was saying, is she bitter at you just like she is at me? And I'm like, I've never been bitter at you. I just didn't know you, and you never made an effort. So I went on with my life, and that's where I'm at. So I think it's helpful for her kids to know that. So I know that her oldest one has heard the song, so... Well, yeah. Which would be my half-brother, but I don't know them, so.
Sure, yeah.
That's great. You can write music about it, though, you know?
Yeah, and that one I can. That one, I've dealt with that situation, you know, all my life. So my dad was married 4 times. So who I call my mom is from his second marriage, and then he had the short-lived 2-month marriage to the woman that was, like, 15 years younger than him that had teenage boys. So that was a stupid, you know, move for him. And then he married someone, and she actually was a great partner for him, and she died of pancreatic cancer. I learned a lot about relationships and loves from failed relationships.
Yeah, really,
yeah,
right?
So that's, you know.
Material, right?
Yeah, that's all material.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God.
And I'm sure you're not alone in that, too. So
no.
Those songs go a long way. You know.
People identify with it. So that's, you know, my dad's family had 5 kids and 12 weddings, so...
Oh, wow.
Everyone's divorced. They all did better the second time around, except for my dad just never could get it right. So.
Gotcha.
Do a lot of people ask you to, like, sing at their weddings and sing at their functions, private functions and birthday parties and everything, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just did a wedding this summer for my friend's daughter, who calls me Auntie. And I sang at her mom and dad's wedding, and then I sang at their wedding.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, that's got to be fun, huh?
Yeah, it's really special. They actually came to one of my performances and held up a sign like a prom video, you know, like, you know, asking me to sing at their wedding. It was so cute, which I have hanging in my in my music room now. So, yeah.
That's adorable.
Yeah, so.
I've played many weddings in the last decade or so in just different bands and stuff. We get asked quite a bit. My wife and I were asked to sing a wedding for a church family of ours last summer, so that was a lot of fun. You know, shameless pitch, I'm a full-time musician, so if you guys need any music for your barbecue in the backyard or your bar mitzvah or whatever,
shows,
man.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, exactly. Oh, my God. Yeah, now's the season, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Summer's, you know, popping off. It's going to be a busy one, which, by the way, you guys can find me online, Xander in the Couch, and that's Xander with a Z. Facebook doesn't like me for some reason. If you search Xander in the Couch on Facebook, you can't find it. Oh. But if you just Google one word, Xander in the Couch, you'll be able to find my stuff. And yeah, send me a DM if you guys have a wedding coming up and your DJ dropped, man. I got you, don't worry. I even officiated my first wedding last summer too.
Oh,
so
nice.
Yeah, I could be a one-time a one big package, man.
That's a really cool deal, right? Oh,
absolutely,
my gosh.
Yeah.
You can officiate the wedding, go, hang on, I'll be right back, and go over there, set up the van.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, my God. And then you can go bartend, right? Because you got the Crown Royal, bring the Crown Royal back to the bar, right? And
exactly. Yep. Can do all
you
that.
Yeah. All kinds of stuff. Okay. And then
everything.
You're kind of on tour. Maybe you could name a bunch of places where you're going to be.
Yeah, that's a great. That's great. Actually, the best way to find it is just follow me on Instagram or Facebook. I do a lot of original shows, but I also do a lot of bar gigs. Again, being full time, like, and in this economy, gas is really expensive right now. So I have a lot of bar gigs on the books right now. But I play with my buddy Clayton Ryan. I know we're playing the Turf Club coming up here for the NEVA convention, which will be here in the Twin Cities, the National Independent Venue Association. So we're playing the Turf Club in a couple of weeks. I will be all over the place. It's one of those things. You're a musician, name one song, and I can't. Now I can't tell you where I'm playing, but find me online. You'll be able to figure it out. I am all over the place. I'm all over the Midwest, too. If you guys have family in, you know, the Dakotas or Wisconsin or Iowa, I travel around there as well.
All right. And what about you, Lori?
So I play way less out than... I spent a lot of time in the studio lately, but I play way less out. I have, like, a few places that I play regularly, like Rush River Brewing, which I love that place. It's down in... Now I'm blanking on the it's just south of Hudson. I'm blanking on the the city.
I know, it's just right.
And so, and I'm up in Balsam Lake this summer a few times. I'm doing some private parties. I do some showcases. I wish I was playing more, but I work a full-time day job, and so sometimes it's really hard for me to get away. So, you know, if you have something where you want, River Falls, thank you very much. And it's River Falls, and I love them. I get to do all originals down at Rush River, so
nice.
That is a really nice thing. And it's a great gig for me because I don't stay up late, so it's like a 5:30 to 7:30. You know, I love those kind of gigs that are over by 9 or 10 o'clock. You know, I'm that's where I'm happiest, and so it's fun. So that's you can find me at LoriLofstrom.com, and then you can find links to all of my socials. I was very excited when I finally got Lori Lofstrom. You know, so so you can find all me on my socials and my YouTube, and you can find my music and buy some of it. That helps me
definitely
more.
And your new album streaming this week,
it's coming out this week, so get your tissue out because it's heartbreak songs. My last album was actually a bad decision album, so you know, all bad decisions and trying to make better decisions. Now we're into happy stuff. We need to do happy stuff.
All right.
But I just want to thank you guys so much. An hour's over. It went by so
that really
fast.
Flew.
Oh my gosh. And I just want to thank you guys